You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Thursday morning. The silence out of the Pentagon is deafening yesterday and today. And I would say this. My parents taught me some good things in life. And one of the things they taught me was, when in doubt, shut your yap. And honestly, the news yesterday that the president had ordered American troops to withdraw from Syria is stunning. Yesterday reading it, it was like, I don't really understand, like, what got ordered. And, you know, you go and you fight, at least as Americans you do, right? First of all, to win. And then you do the fighting to win the fucking peace. And we did this a while ago, and we fucking left, and then we went right back there. And so I will reserve judgment, because as I always do, my instinct is, well, there's things that you don't know that make this make sense. But I will tell you this, the fact that there hasn't been a fucking peep out of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, that there hasn't been a fucking peep out of the Secretary of Defense, tells me that my instincts are correct, that this is fucking stupid. And let me tell you, if this is done so that he can take money out of the DOD budget and say he's using it to build the fucking wall, then get him the fuck out of office, okay? So, watching this shit over the course of the last, 24 hours as this shit has blossomed, just makes your fucking blood boil. No, John Bolton hasn't said anything. You have everybody, and they've trotted out the audio clips, right, and the video clips in the last 24 hours. You have everybody and their mother as late as last week saying, we're there to promote stability and to see a positive outcome for everybody involved. The Syrian people, the Kurdish people, the Iraqi people. That's what we're there for. And it's winning the peace. The fighting's the fucking easy part. Now you've got ISIS out of there. You've stabilized the son of a bitch. Okay, now get the State Department in there, get the people that are supposed to make this shit work, and make it work. Get the UN in there, make it work, make it be something stable, something good, something that the rest of the world looks and says, yeah, that was a good outcome. And this is Obama shit. You know, let's declare victory and come on home. Yeah, and, you know, just like we did to the Vietnamese, what happens to the fucking Kurds that have helped us? They get now smoked by by the Turks. It's just so stupid, you know. But let me tell you this. It's quintessentially American. Go there, fuck it up, and then leave the people that fought with you, leave them hanging so they can die. So I've been watching this, and again, you know, what I have my fingers crossed that you're going to see a press conference that features John Bolton, General Joe Dunford, and Secretary of Defense Mattis. And you're going to see them sitting there, and you're going to hear them explaining. Let us put the footnotes on the table so that we can explain to you why this makes sense. Okay. Fox News has Jack Keane on. I want to hear what Jack Keane has to say.
How come?
Well, you and our viewers know, I think, that I've agreed with most all of President Trump's foreign policy and national security decisions.
Here it comes.
I have great respect for the national security team that provides him advice. All that said, this is a huge strategic mistake that I hope the president is willing to reconsider. And if he does not, I believe with some degree of confidence that he'll come to regret this decision. I mean, clearly, we're repeating the Obama mistake of premature withdrawal, which got us ISIS. It is a misstatement to say that ISIS is defeated in Syria. What is accurate is we have destroyed their safe haven in Raqqa, and we have now taken down a town of Hajin, which ISIS put up a fight for over 2 months, which demonstrates their determination and resilience, and there's remnants of ISIS still in the area. In my judgment, we need to stick to it and finish the job. When Senator Paul and other supporters of the president's decision say that the United States has got to stop doing the heavy lifting in the Middle East, we've got to leave the fight to the people in the Middle East, that is exactly what we have been doing. The primary fighters are Syrians, Kurds, and Arabs, day in, day out, fighting as light infantry on the ground, engaging the ISIS fighting forces for a better part of a year now. What we have there are advisors, 2,200, who are helping to put together the plans to conduct that fight, and also are coordinating air power and artillery support. And that has been decisive.
To be clear on this, what the White House has said, that they're not declaring victory on ISIS. They're very deliberate in their language about a territorial victory over the caliphate, if you consider 1% or 2% of the territory between Iraq and Syria is now ruled by ISIS. To that, what would you say, General?
Well, I agree with that. But it's not idle speculation that ISIS has the capacity to rebuild, because they are a very resilient organization, and then reemerge to retake territory again. My sources in the intelligence services have forecasted that event. And then we'll have a decision to make. What are we going to do? Do we go back in there? There'll be considerably less political support for that. It's much easier to leave than it is to go back.
This is General Jack Keane on Fox News right now. I didn't know he listened to me before he went on the air. So, General, thanks for listening to All Marine Radio.
Right.
The second thing that is really crucial to understand here, Bill, by pulling out of eastern Syria, we have given all of Syria to the Iranians. Syria is and will become their strategic anchor in the Middle East. They will have achieved their number one strategic goal to have established a Shia crescent from Iran through Iraq, through Syria to Lebanon to the Mediterranean. That will be a victory of strategic proportions that will have huge consequences for years to come.
You hit the nail on the head there, because this is about Iran and Iran's, assisting Syria in carrying out these atrocities to its own people. The president defending his decision on Syria on Twitter today, writing this: "Getting out of Syria was no surprise. I've been campaigning on it for years, and 6 months ago, when I very publicly wanted to do it, I agreed to stay longer. Russia, Iran, Syria, and others are the local enemy of ISIS. ISIS. We were doing their work. Time to come home and rebuild. Hashtag MAGA. You know, when the president says that we're not responsible for solving all the world's problems. However, when Assad went ahead and gassed his own people, we went and dropped bombs. I mean,
the point is, when we hand that there, what do you think's going to brew in these areas? Pro-American organizations? No. And then what happens when they get after Israel, which Iran has vowed to do? What happens when they flip over Iraq that we fought for and shed American lives for? To me, who the fuck says this is a good idea? The liberals in Congress? Rand Paul? God almighty, fuck.
Dropped rockets on them. So the president, while he doesn't want to solve all the world's problems, did get involved when Assad had carried out those atrocities. What happens if we step back? Look at what happened to Iraq. Iraq fell apart. What happens in Syria to the people of Syria, specifically because we won't be there to defend them?
Well, the consequences are very significant, because we said, as part of our strategy in Syria, not only did we want to contain Iran, that we wanted Iran to leave Syria, and we intended to work toward that end. By having a piece of ground in eastern Syria that we were able to drive ISIS out of and to stay the course there, what that gave us is a seat at the political table to get a political solution in Geneva. We just forfeited that. We have turned over the political solution in Syria to the Iranians and to the Russians, because,
and again, we have 2,000 American troops on the ground there. That's the last best guess. Now, there might be special operations people around there, but the people that are doing the dying over there are Syrians, okay, are Iraqis. Those are the people that are doing the dying over there. So you give up your seat in all of this. You hand it over to Russia and Iran, and what'd you get in return? You got shit. Just stupid. Stupid as stupid as stupid. But again, maybe I'm wrong. General Keane, right? He would be somebody that I would think would be in line along the thinking of General Dunford, Secretary of Defense. He's the first person, most credible person I've heard speak on the subject.
We no longer will have that influence, given we're pulling up and walking out the door, much to the frustration of our allies in the region and also, obviously, in Syria. I do accept the president's concern about our allies not doing enough. They clearly could do more.
When you talk about a modest troop investment, I just need a quick answer on this. You mentioned 2,200 troops there now. What is considered modest? Is it 2,200? Is it half of that? What's the number?
No, modest is the 2,200.
So keep them up.
We've got the right sized advisors there to help that Syrian Democratic Force in what has been one successful battle after another against ISIS.
Thank you.
If you're joining us, this is General Jack Keane, interviewed on Fox News here moments ago.
Sir, very much for your analysis on that. General,
the So watching that is, I don't know, it's absolute. And again, the silence from the Pentagon is deafening. When are they going to be trotted out to, and again, I cannot wait to see that. And my question is, will the Secretary of Defense resign? When the President of the United States does something clearly that's not in the national interest, when he does something that's clearly the Secretary of Defense has advised against and certainly would oppose, and the same thing for the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And is he doing this to save? They just had a political hack before the top of the hour, and I was listening, and he was making the case, you know, and then he got asked by Bill Hemmer, well, does have anything to do with funding for the wall? Well, we're seeking to where we can, you know, maybe it could be. What? If that is the case, he's an absolute idiot of all idiots. And it's just my black blood is just boiling. So, anyway, Merry Christmas to everybody out there. Let me tell you what we're going to do on the program today. We are going to, Jeff Kenney's going to join us for the third week in a row. Now, we talked about Jeff's career 2 weeks ago. A week ago, we were going to talk about Afghanistan and advising, and we got sidetracked. We started talking about Iraq and what an idiot Don Rumsfeld was, is, right? That whole team of the whole Bush national security team that gave us this gift that we now witness in Syria. Yeah. Destabilized the entire Middle East through their genius work. Don Rumsfeld. And again, the genius piece of it is there was a war plan. The war plan predicted everything that happened in Iraq. And I should get the clip from General Zinni's interview when last time he was on. He said, Mac, that was the frustrating part. Every bit of it's predicted. Rumsfeld rips up the war plan. Shinseki before Congress gets asked how many, after this is done, the march up, how many troops will be required? He said, well, the war plan calls for close to 300,000. Why? Because if you don't keep a lid on this sumbitch, according to the analysis that was done in support of the war plan, you have these three factions and you will have a civil war. Oh shit, guess what happened? And Donnie Rumsfeld, he just fairy dusted that. Oh, come on, that's stupid. Generals are so stupid. The DOD's so stupid. I'm here, like Robert McNamara. I'm a genius, okay? I see things that they don't. They're arrogant asses. Condoleezza Rice, Don Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, and Colin Powell. History will judge them harshly. And George Bush, the village idiot leading all of it. Well, he got bad advice. I don't give a shit. He's the president of the United States. You don't start optional wars when you have other means to deal with somebody. And again, you had a guy like Zinni, former head of CENTCOM, Clinton's special envoy to the Middle East, saying before we did it, you don't need to do this. You think Bush would have read that and said, hey, I've asked around. Zinni's supposedly a smart guy. He's a Vietnam guy. He's a conservative. Why would Zinni say that? I want to talk to that dude. Get him to the Oval Office or get him on my phone. And we need to have a working lunch with him. Rumsfeld said when asked about Zinni's criticism, said, I've never heard of him. Maybe you should. Maybe you should sit down and account for his criticism. Shinseki gives the $300,000 troop level number to Congress, right? Rumsfeld shows him the door. So anyway, more stupidity from Washington, D.C.
Jack Keane, thank you.
Thank you.
There you have it, Jack Keane. So Jack, thanks for listening to All Marine Radio before as your show prep. Very good. So we're going to have Jeff Kenney on again today. And first thing we'll do is talk about Syria, get his thoughts on it. And then after Syria, what we'll talk about is he's going to explain Afghanistan to us. Right? And how many wars are going on in Afghanistan? Jeff was an advisor there, so we'll talk about Afghanistan and the Middle East today. And we'll try to keep, I don't know if I can stay in the Christmas spirit today. I'm just going to tell you that straight up. Watching this stupidity is amazing. Absolutely, positively amazing. That we're gonna do Obama 2 in the Middle East. And it's just frustrating as frustrating can be. So, with that said, let's play the national anthem and we'll do our breathing exercises. So, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio as we continue here on the 20th day of December, 2018. It's a Thursday, in case you haven't looked at your calendar. Good morning to you. We'll be right back. dedicated to the people on the inner sanctum of our policy decision. And this is dedicated in the hopes that they can talk some sense into the President of the United States. That this is just another, like you just did a week ago. I'm going to shut the government down for the wall. For the wall, you know, America's security on our southern border. Blah blah blah. A week later, yeah, I'm not going to do that. Okay, so let's just hope that it's another one of his Trump moments in which he, you know, he dabbles and does or says stupid shit that he backs away from later. So this is with both my fingers on both my hands crossed. That we're not going to do something stupid that promotes greater instability in the Middle East at the peril of our allies who have fought with us. Right? America being stupid is something the world doesn't need. America, the world needs an America that does solid things, that furthers peace, that furthers self-determination, that furthers economic freedom. So the confrontation with China, absolutely necessary, although it's, you know, it's certainly causing pain in the economy. It'll get us to a better place, and it has to happen, right? Calling out NATO, making NATO stronger, absolutely, positively has to happen, okay? Those things are good conservative policy, right? What he's doing is stupid. Is stupid, stupid, stupid. So here's in the hope that either people at the Pentagon, John Bolton, Joe Dunford, Jim Mattis, the three J's, John, Joe, and Jim, can either explain to us that we're going to be hovering in the region, and if anybody steps out of line, we'll go back in, okay? And we're going to headquarters that out of Al Asad in the western part of Al Anbar, right? It's going to be robust, but we're not going to, you know, that's going to be the extent of our commitment. Okay, I got it. Right? Explain to me how that makes sense. Okay, or, but the silence coming out of the Pentagon and the silence coming out of Mr. Bolton is very, very uncomfortable. It means the president is doing shit for political reasons that's harming the nation. That's what that silence means. I'll translate it for you. I didn't even have to get my secret decoder ring that I got in the bottom of the tricks box back in the day out. Yeah, how about that? So this is to get dedicated to that hope that it's just the president talking shit like he talked last week about the border wall and the 3 weeks before that about willing to shut down the government. So with that said,
you're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man. But I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
You know what keeps us from winning? Right? The presidents of the United States. Bush, Obama, and now Trump. I mean, stupid as fuck. It's unbelievable to watch it. And I know it hurts everybody when I throw Bush in there, too. But it is what it is, man. Two things, right? Starting the war, and then he listened to Rumsfeld. He wouldn't give us enough fucking troops there. And we're all saying, I said it on a radio show. After I came back from Iraq in 2004, I got interviewed by Ed Schultz, who just died, right? He asked me if I wanted to come on. And I had to be very careful in the way I said it, because he tried to turn it into broad criticism. I said, look, the policy stuff is beyond me. He said, so you're saying that the policy we have there is wrong, and, you know, I said, no, I'm not saying any of that. All I'm saying is from, right, the ground view, we do not have enough people there. Where we have enough people, nothing happens. They won't contest it, but where there's not enough, they run into free spaces, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, so he starts the war, and then he doesn't matter. And then, oh, what the fuck? We do the surge, and what happened? Everybody, oh, the surge won't work. The whole thing fucking cools out. Oh, geez, what a fucking surprise. Right? Are you shitting me? Rumsfeld, man. That guy cannot leave the planet quick enough. Total failure, in my opinion, as a human being, as a policymaker. I don't give a shit what his book says. That guy. And then we follow that with Obama, who doesn't negotiate or renegotiate a status of forces agreement, and we leave the region. And then guess what happens? ISIS overruns the whole son of a bitch. Then we got to go back. Well done, Barack. Barack announces that we're going to leave Afghanistan. And what happens? Leads to the resurgence of the Taliban, which then means we got to go back. And you're watching going, no, 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 no. And again, somebody said, even if that was your plan, why would you communicate it early? You want to know why? Because it was about politics. And now this. So, the presidents of this country, in my opinion, foreign policy failures across the board. Trump, to me, got most of it right. Calling out Europe on NATO. Telling them they've got to do their part. Nothing wrong with that. Right? Calling out Japan. Right? Some of this trade stuff I don't particularly like. I like bilateral trade agreements. I'm with them on that. But the United States is a leader. When you go around the world, you see it. The world doesn't need a diminished United States. It needs a better United States to serve as an example and to serve as a leader. Who else is going to, and Putin today in the news, right? Don't discount the threat of nuclear war. Oh, enough of the Darth Vader shit, you sawed-off little shithead. Go away already. Go the fuck away. And then now everybody will write about it. Putin in his nice suits, doing his Darth Vader impersonation. Yeah, we got the memo. We got the memo. All right. You and your Canadian-sized economy. And let me tell you, why do you think he's blustering now? Because if that treaty goes away and the United States begins to invest its money in nuclear weapons and Russia has to match it, guess what Russia can't do with that little piss-ass economy they got? Right. And Putin knows it. That's what bankrupted the Soviet Union and caused them to be on President Reagan's ash heap of history. So anyway, let's do the weather. Quantico's got three weather advisories. That's the threshold. Once you get to three, we got to investigate. Cloudy and 47 degrees there. Either my computer or the website's being slow. All right, gale warnings for the Quantico area. My God. Flood watch in effect until tonight. And as always, a small craft advisory on the Potomac. So rain and wind in the Quantico area. Raining right now? Well, it says cloudy. Going to have rain today and 45 degrees today, rain tomorrow night, and sunny on Saturday. It is raining at 64 at Camp Lejeune. They've got two weather advisories, so we don't go there. It is 50 and partly sunny in Granbury, Texas. 29 Palms is sunny and 47. Pendleton, what? Clouds and 39. Camp Pendleton is the cold spot. Now, this is from the airfield, so it's over the mountains. Near the coast is going to be warmer. Dark, cloudy, and 72 in Okinawa. In the Al Anbar province of Iraq, are we going to unass that too? So when we unass, for those of you who don't know, is a technical term. Means we're leaving this place. So, like, if we're gonna unass Syria, are we gonna unass Iraq too? Yeah. Yeah. So Okinawa, dark cloudy, 72. Al Anbar, did I give the temperature? I'm pissed. Clear, dark, and 57 in the Al Anbar province of Iraq. In the Helmand province, wonder if we're gonna unass that some bitch too. Our negotiations with the Taliban are ongoing and showing some success, according to news headlines. Dark, clear, and 48 in the province of the Poppy. which is the Helmand province. In Costa Mesa, California, cloudy and 49 degrees. Not sure what the high is going to be today because I'm pissed. That's right. Looking for a high of 71 with cloudy skies today, 68 tomorrow, and 67 on Saturdays. That is a look at your weather. It's 7:38 right now. We'll take a couple-minute break. I need to go get something to drink. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines. Let me see. Email. I was curious about what you would say today, LOL. I think you need to settle down, although I do share your sentiments. For me, one of the things I've enjoyed about your program is you're not shy about criticizing the president while you agree with his policies. To me, as the days go by, he reminds me more and more of Richard Nixon. Whoa. He seems to me to be a man under siege. The fact that he didn't have another chief of staff. I heard you talking about Kelly. Kelly hasn't said a word. I do agree with you. I believe Kelly probably walked in and told him that he could no longer work with him. The fact that Trump would announce that Kelly was leaving without no solid replacement gives you some idea of how he does business. Doesn't look real good. The fact that nobody would sign up for that job tells me that most people believe he's a dead man walking and don't want to be involved. That's not a good sign. But this is different. This is American foreign policy, and I agree with you, Mac. America does need to be a leader in the world. Those of us who have gone around the world, who've seen the conditions around the world, and know that no matter what anybody says, they look to the United States to be something different than they get from China or Russia. Something different than they get from any other country on the planet. Sadly, you're accurate in your assessment of the last few presidents. They have been dismal failures on the international stage. And now this. I agree with you. I hope that he's just bullshitting like he did with the wall for the last month and then backs away from it. We shall see. It will be interesting to see which one of the three J's comes out and makes the first statement. Bolton certainly should be the guy. He's the president's advisor. Did the president do this against his advice? Evidently. God help us. All right, we'll take a quick break. More of All-Marine Radio coming up next. And look, I'm not trying to be like Chicken Little about all this. But this is stupid. This is stupid. And let me tell you what's really old is that, you know, when we have to go back in there, or when Israel begins to get encroached on and we get into a larger war, to me, the secondary effect is now you've strengthened Iran, which means that the likelihood of a confrontation with Iran is greater today than it was yesterday. More of All-Marine Radio coming up next on a Thursday.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All right, more breaking news. Rod Rosenstein is at the microphone. He, the deputy director of the FBI, talking about sanctions against China. So listen to this.
Just listen for a quick moment here, and James, I'll come back to you.
Of the department's cases alleging economic espionage over the past 7 years involve China. More than two-thirds of the department's cases involving thefts of trade secrets are connected to China. In the last few months of this year alone, our department has announced charges in three separate cases alleging crimes committed at the behest of a branch of the Chinese Ministry of State Security. It is unacceptable that we continue to uncover cybercrime committed by China against America and other nations. In 2015, China promised to stop stealing trade secrets and other confidential business information through computer hacking with the intent of providing competitive advantage to companies in the commercial sector. But the activity alleged in this indictment violates the commitment that China made. That was a commitment they made to members of the international community, to the United States, to the G20, and to APEC.
Got stolen.
So we want China to see. There. So not only is the U.S. making this announcement today, but word from London at the same time, Britain says it will join the Allies, meaning the United States and others, in holding the Chinese government.
Yes. That is awesome, because this is what's been needed, is the free nations of the world standing up to China and saying, look, I know you wield your economy and access to it around to companies like Google and dangle it in front of them, and then you beat the shit out of Vietnam and the Philippines by saying, hey, look, we'll cut off all access to your manufacturers if you don't play, you know, if you don't play baseball with us. But we are going to join together as a group, and we're going to take you on and say that you have to stop this shit. So, wow. So we'll see. AP headline just a few minutes ago. Trump pulling out of Syria. Might Afghanistan be next? Yeah, fuck all of it. Hey, why stay in Japan and Korea? Pull them back too. Right? Fuck it, Fortress America. We'll fight them on the beaches of San Clemente. Email. Mac, we can't be the world's policemen. We're in Afghanistan because September 11th was attacked from there, and we made a wrong-headed decision under George Bush, led by Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice, to expand the ground war and not leave it. We could have walked in, we could have shit-kicked those guys, and told the Afghans, whenever you stack two bricks on top of each other, we'll destroy it if you don't get this shit under control. And done that. But we stayed, we expanded the ground war, and now, under the what General Zinni would call Colin Powell's pottery barn policy, which is you break it, you buy it. So we evidently broke Afghanistan. Wrong. But we stayed around to fashion something that would be at least support Americans' interests in the region. And we've done that. And we've done that. Afghanistan next? Painful morning there, sports fans. Painful morning. And, you know, let me just tell you what these stories just write further commitments of American stupidity in foreign policy, especially when it comes to military involvement, and specifically winning the peace after a conflict. We did some shows on George Marshall and his genius, right? His genius after World War II. In not replicating the errors that happened after World War I. Marshall, smart guy. So it's just, you know, it's just so frustrating when you watch us go down these roads and do stupid things. And again, stupid things because, you know, political advisors, for the sake of getting elected, roll out stupid courses of action to differentiate you as a candidate, and then we get onto the world stage and you get to look behind the curtain, and then you attempt to implement your stupid shit. It's brutal. Absolutely brutal. Anyway, headlines in Marine Land today. We talked about the search for the black boxes that is underway. Headline about Marine Corps aviation. Marine aviation bonus take rates are higher, meaning pilot bonuses are higher, but the pilot shortage will likely linger until 2023 for another 5 years. Wow. And again, a lot of pilots have left because they didn't fly. They came in to fly. And I know younger officers like this. You know, they grew up watching the war. They wanted to come in and they wanted to fight. They wanted to get tested. And then they joined and then the war ended. And not what they wanted to do was hang out in the peacetime Marine Corps. Headlines. Trump to immediately withdraw from Syria, troops to immediately withdraw from Syria as Trump declares victory over ISIS. Second headline. Here's what may be driving U.S. withdrawal in Syria. Third headline, Trump's Syria withdrawal flies in the face of statements from top military and national security leaders who have not said anything. So here's the story. Here's what may be driving U.S. troop withdrawal by a guy named Kyle Remfer. Turkish forces want to push their troops into Syria. The U.S.-backed Syrian Kurds want to keep Turkish forces out, and the U.S. has struggled for months to keep both players happy. A confrontation between the U.S. and Turkey, officially NATO allies, would create a geopolitical crisis at the heart of the world's most powerful alliance. Northern Syria has been popping up in the news lots over the past year with periodic developments in a tangled web of paramilitary group acronyms and overlapping alliances. Caught in the middle are an unknown number of U.S. troops, estimated to be around 2,000. However, it's often said that U.S. forces play another role as well, preventing a clash between the Kurds and the Turks. So let's get to the point. What's the cause? The cause is the Turk disagreement with the Kurds and this whole YPG thing that Turkey considers them terrorists and they fought with the United States and that Turkey has legitimate security concerns. Look, that's no reason to leave. The article ends like this. Trump's national security advisor, John Bolton, backed the long-term presence of U.S. troops in Syria to balance against Iran this fall. Quote, we're not going to leave as long as Iranian troops are outside Iranian borders, and that includes Iranian proxies and militia. As of 07:55 a.m. Pacific time, John Bolton has yet to be heard from. The president's national security advisor, who evidently isn't taken very seriously by the president. The story about the VA not spending, their what, however many million dollars on suicide prevention, is just. And you're going to trust them with anything? Your physical well-being, your mental health. Give me a break. Oh, Mac, your VA banging again. Yeah, I probably shouldn't talk about the VA today. I'm pissed. U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan focus of talks to end the war, according to the Taliban. It's an article from the Associated Press. The latest talks between the Taliban and a U.S. peace envoy on the war in Afghanistan focus on the withdrawal of NATO troops, the release of prisoners, and halting attack on civilians by pro-government forces, a Taliban spokesman said on Wednesday. U.S. envoy Zalmay Khalilzad, who tweeted that the talks held this week were productive, was in Pakistan on Wednesday to meet with the chief of Pakistan's army before heading to the Afghan capital of Kabul later in the day. So, that in the news. So we're going to negotiate a victory and then leave and then see what happens. Another story that if you're a Marine, this will make you smile, are the days of pulling The headline says, pulling pits at the rifle range coming to an end. So when you go shoot on the rifle range, there's something called the pits or the butts. And you go down there in the rifle pit and you pull butts, which are targets. They go up and down and you signal where the shooter hits. You put in you plug into the target a marker, you run the target back up. And then you tell the shooter how many. It's a 3, it's a 4, it's a 5. And if they miss the target altogether, it's this thing called a Maggie drawers. Right? And then you take this red disc that's on a pole, right? It's like a red stop sign. And you run it the length of the target in kind of an arc. And that way everybody in the world knows that they missed the whole target, for God's sake. So maybe that's going to become computerized. Right? So now with optics, blah, 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 computerization, all that may be coming to an end. In the posting, the Marine Corps is looking for an automatic scoring system for its ranges that was put on a DOD procurement site. So there you have it. Top 5 stories in early bird before Jeff Kenney comes on. 1, troops to immediately withdraw from Syria. We talked about that enough this morning. 2, Trump Syria withdrawal flies in the face of statements by top military and national security leaders, none of which have made a statement yet. Number 3, what will be interesting is, will anybody resign over this? Will John Bolton say, you know, it's not a policy that I can support. I'm out. 3, U.S. troops are leaving, but ISIS is not defeated in Syria. Hello. No matter what the president says. 4, China's Belt and Road plan in Pakistan takes a military turn. Just 2 weeks later, the Pakistani Air Force and Chinese officials were putting the final touches on a secret proposal to expand Pakistan's building of Chinese military jets, weaponry, and other hardware. The confidential plan, reviewed by the New York Times, would also deepen the cooperation between China and Pakistan in space, a frontier the Pentagon recently said Beijing is trying to militarize after decades of playing catch-up. So there you have it. Belt and Road gets our nose under the corner of the tent, and then as seemed to be everything that China does, there's a military application for it. In fact, I just saw a story on somewhere last night about them buying a university here in the United States. It's a choir university. However, it's located near a number of national security buildings, blah, 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 that do national security work for the United States. And security analysts say they're buying the college for one reason, to be able to staff it and then to be able to monitor what's going in and out, what's going on electronically, blah, blah, blah. They want access. Number 5, AP investigation, children fight on front lines of the Yemen war. No kidding. No kidding. All right, we're going to take a break. Jeff Kenney will join us. We're going to ask him about Syria, and then we'll talk about Afghanistan. This is from the great state of Alabama. It's entitled Arrogance. Trump always thinks he's the smartest one in the room. He's too arrogant. He meets with advisors, then does what he wanted to do all along. And again, if this is in any way, shape, or form linked to taking this money and using it for a border wall, to me, get rid of the son of a bitch. Right? I'll reverse all of this if Joe Dunford or Jim Mattis comes on and says, here's why we need to do this. Here's why it makes sense. And they can make me smart, and then I'll apologize. But let me just tell you this. Charge them with whatever crimes in the House. That'll get out of the House because the Democrats control it. And if I wasn't going to vote to impeach him, right, to convict him of whatever his I would vote to get his ass out of office, make Mike Pence the president of the United States, and be done with all this bullshit. All right? Anyway, yeah. As you can tell, I've reached the saturation point of D. Trump and his stupidity. His policies that other people have fashioned for this country are conservative policies, and they need to be done. To include what Rod Rosenstein announced this morning, which was charges against China and calling them out again for both industrial and economic espionage. This shit's got to stop. But it's only going to stop if the free nations of the world come together and call them out on it, and I'll take a position on it. More Ballroom Radio coming up next.